Thank you for listening to this message from Northwest Hills Community Church in Corvallis, Oregon. You can learn more about our church at nwhills.com. Today, Associate Pastor Ron King continues a series in Hebrews 11 called Something Better. We see God's calling in Abraham's life where he was stretched and stepped out by faith. By following God, Abraham was blessed and blessed others in ways he never saw. Like Abraham, ask yourself, what do you need to say yes to? Also, this month, we're focusing on the discipline of celebration. Think of how you can gather with other fellow believers to celebrate what God has graciously done in your life. Now, here's today's message.
We have been in a series, if you're just joining us, in Hebrews chapter 11. And it's entitled Something Better. And I thought, Abdul, brother, you just captured it, like with your heart. The longing in our spirit when God implants that by his spirit, just calling us to something better. And I so appreciated the way you articulated that. And the way that God calls each of us, regardless of our background, our family of origin, our culture, to something far better. And it's a longing that he has implanted in us. I'm driving and I'm singing out the words to that musical Hamilton, and I get to the song. I don't sing all the words, by the way, but I'm singing that song at my Alexander and Eliza are singing. I will never be satisfied, and I froze all of a sudden. I thought, wait a second. I have been, actually, I have experienced satisfaction, and I'm gonna forever experience satisfaction. I'm going to stop singing that stupid song because I have been satisfied. And in addressing that longing for satisfaction in The Weight of Glory, C.S. Lewis's wonderful book, he quotes Thomas More saying that if you don't choose Jesus, it really doesn't matter what else you choose. Lewis expands on More's thought. Will it really make no difference whether it was a woman or patriotism, cocaine or art, whiskey or the seal of the cabinet, money or science? He asks, well, surely no difference that really truly matters. We shall have missed the end for which we were formed and rejected the only thing that satisfies. Does it matter to a man dying in the desert by which choice of route he missed the only well? And Hebrews chapter 11 shows us that well. When I first saw the passage that Josh assigned to me, I confess I started laughing because it's about an old man who is called out of his comfort zone to go to a new place, the promised land. And I thought, wow, that sounds kind of familiar for some reason. And I started laughing to myself, and I was reminded again, I was studying through the text, that I just love this chapter so much. Been so encouraged by JJ, thank you, and by Gary, and by Josh, as they've been working through the text, and by the Spirit of God, right, as he uses his word to speak to us. And this verse keeps rattling around inside my old brain from Hebrews 11, chapter 6, that it is impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, I've been called, I believe that you have been called in life to delight in God, to bring him glory. And this morning together, we as a church bring delight to him. And it's impossible to do. It's impossible to do, the scripture says, without faith. And that's my story. I know that's just like Abdullah, that's my story. As a little kid, my parents, I was super blessed to have parents who loved Jesus. And as a little kid, they explained to me the gospel, the good news, that I was broken and separated from God. And there's only one way to repair that separation and brokenness and my sinfulness, my disobedience, and that was to place my faith in Jesus Christ and what he's done on the cross and rising from the dead for me, I need to trust him and just speak that out in prayer. And as a little kid, I did. But of course, when you take that step, wherever you might have been, if you have taken that step, that's just the beginning of the faith steps that he's got for you, right? And in high school, I was praying through, what in the world should I be doing next with my life? And had these different options, I thought. But God had a calling for me. He called me into vocational ministry. We're all in ministry together, right? My privilege is just to equip the saints to the work of the ministry for you guys to be flourishing in your ministry. But that's what he called me to in high school, and so I kind of jumped in both feet, and I've been doing that over 40 years. 20, I loved in youth ministry, and the last 20 as a senior pastor. And every step has been a matter of faith. Sometimes I've really blown it. I haven't been the man of faith. I haven't trusted God fully. And in those moments, I haven't really experienced the full blessing and pleasure of being God's man. You know what I'm talking about? Those times where you just chickened out, where you weren't willing to fully say, yeah, I just release it. I want to be yours, God. I want to follow you full-heartedly. I'm going to do all that you've called me to do. And every time I have said yes, of course, God goes above and beyond, surprising, you know, encouraging, blessing. And that's a bit of the story that we're turning our hearts toward and our minds toward this morning. The implications of Hebrews 11:6, that without faith it's impossible to please God. And I believe that the author and scripture teaches that it's not just talking about a one-time when you were little faith. It's talking about today's faith. Like, I believe that faith is a little bit like raspberries. It's got a short shelf life. And faith today, this moment, is absolutely significant for you to be able to take the next step. And I have no idea, because I don't know you yet, what that step is in your life, in your family's life, in your work, in your school. All I know is that without it, it's impossible. It's impossible to please God. You might have come, I think, for a variety of reasons today, this morning. Maybe a friend invited you, or your spouse did, or your parents did. But this morning, we didn't just come to sing songs. It's impossible, actually, to do this journey of faith separately. We do it corporately. And as scripture says, the whole verse says, without faith it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Actually, in the verse version that I first learned, it's earnestly seek him. It captures, I think, the spirit of the original language. Those who press in with everything that we have to be a person, a woman, a man of faith. And that's what we're doing here together, to push each other on toward that. So Hebrews chapter 11, we have the text this morning starting verse 8. I'd love for you to stand. And this morning we'll do it just a little bit of twist different. I don't know, different's good. Okay, relax. We're going to read it together. So I just want you to read out God's word to all of us together. We're going to do verses 8 through 10. Would you read the word of the Lord to us with me? By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to him. You may be seated. Yeah, for those of you who are unfamiliar a bit with Abram's life, he's like right at the top of like the list of megastars in the faith. And he is like on the Mount Rushmore, the Hebrew Mount Rushmore, I don't know what you call it, Mount Carmel more or something. He's right there. Abram is right there. But it started in a space, and I wanted to help you understand the flow of the story. So Abram had a dad, his name was Terah, and we discover his story beginning at the end of chapter in Genesis. Genesis chapter 11 at the beginning, starting verse 31, where it says, Terah took Abram his son and Lot the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, his son, Abram's wife, and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. And we don't know why they stopped. They're supposed to go to Canaan, but all of a sudden, Abram's dad parks it in Haran. And there's a lot of reasons. The scripture doesn't tell us, but there's a lot of reasons that could have happened. Maybe they just thought it was stretching them a bit too far to travel all that distance. Well, here's the story. Faith always stretches us. It's always uncomfortable. It's always difficult in seasons. Not a very good excuse, but they decided to settle. And settling, actually, is a huge temptation for all of us. To settle short of the full blessing of God. To stop when it feels like it's hard, or stop when it feels like, hey, this is okay, and we settle for second best. But that's not what God's plan was, I don't believe, for him. Actually, I believe it's why you showed up this morning. Why you need to hear from the word of the Lord this morning, so that God would stretch you one more time, so that you would not settle. I'd love for you to enjoy the full blessing of God. The full blessing of walking with him, the full satisfaction of being his child, his senior adult, and everything in between. So don't miss out on the full satisfaction of God by putting the brakes on yet, like Abram's dad did. Your journey of faith, I'm here to tell you, regardless of how old you are, even as old as me, or maybe even older, it's not done yet. God's still giving you life and breath. Now, Abram's story picks up in Genesis chapter 12. Now, the Lord, that is Yahweh, said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. So this is the covenant, the basis of the covenant, Abrahamic covenant. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now that's a crazy statement, isn't it? How do you get your mind around some kind of blessing like that? A promise that's way over the top in scripture, it seems like. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered. There's a lot of stuff. And the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan, where they came to the land of Canaan. And Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. And at that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. The full story of his life, it's told throughout the next several chapters. I want to encourage you to dig into God's word on your own. Just like investigate the truth and let God's spirit speak to you as you hear his story. Next week, we're going to talk about Sarah's story. And I'm not going to tell you any of the details. You have to come back next week for that. But in the lesson that God is building out for him, God motivates this man who's 75 years old and settled in a place of comfort to move and to take his whole family and all of his stuff and to go to a place that he didn't actually know what it looked like or where exactly he should go. So just imagine the conversation. He comes home, and Sarah says, "Hey, honey, how was your day today?" And he's like, "You'll never guess who I talked to." Right? "And by the way, we're moving." And she's like, Now, Scripture tells us that she is actually a woman of faith. She makes the Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11, too. But you can imagine, like, him just dropping that kind of bomb with her and her wrestling through. And so she's saying, like, "Okay, where exactly are you taking everybody?" And him saying, "Oh, okay, so that's another thing. I'm not really sure. I don't really have the details." And then, of course, he pulls the trump card. He says, "But the Lord, he told us that we should go." "Are you sure about that, honey? Are you like, did you hear from God audibly? And so they go back and forth, and I'm sure Sarah's like at one point raising her eyebrow, you know, hands on her hip. By the way, guys, if you haven't like learned the tells, it might be a good time to learn the tells of your bride, you know, when she's going to start to dig the heels in. And God takes them. Sarah trusts that he heard the Lord. And they take off with all their stuff. And he talks all his family into going with them. And they go to a place that they had no idea where they were going, what it would look like, what their people were going to be like. They just knew that God had called and they better go because something better was there. They had to trust him by faith. I want you to hear this because I think it's a lesson from the text that our calling is a gift from God, although sometimes we don't treat it that way. I personally have fought against the calling of God. Sometimes in my life wanted to do something different, wanted to go a different place. I'm not sure if that's your story. If you're human, I'm betting it is. And yet it is a gift, a present from God. Because he always has our best in mind. He makes these wild promises to Abram, God does, that if you'll trust me, if you will trust me by faith, I'm not going to fill in all the blanks, that's part of faith, if you will follow me, I'm going to reward you beyond what you could possibly dream of. It's going to be about legacy. It's going to be about the land. It's going to be about Jesus, actually, coming through his line. He doesn't know all that story, but Galatians 3 fills in the details. All of these things are going to be yours if you leave as a 75-year-old guy. Now, I'm here to tell you that it's, when I was in my 20s, super easy to take those steps when I didn't have a whole train of other things to be considered about. But when you have kids, when you've got adults, when he's got his whole family and all these people that worked for him, and he's got all his stuff, and things collect. Any of you know what I'm talking about? Things collect, and it's harder to trust him by faith, and so it's a difficult struggle, I believe, but he takes the step, understanding that it was a gift from God. Both Gary and Josh are pressed into that verse, Hebrews 11, 6, that without faith it's impossible to please God. And when I started reflecting on it, I started thinking of all the times where I didn't actually fully trust him. And I didn't please him because of it. God found no delight in my cowardice, in my inability to let go of things that I needed to let go of. So what does it truly mean to be a man, to be a woman of faith? How do I step into the calling of God for me? Now, I'm not talking about doing the spiritual looking things. I'm talking about when God, by his Spirit and his Word, impress on you what you have to do next in your life. What does that look like? Here's a short answer. It's kind of a no-brainer. You say yes, right? You say yes to the calling of God right now. You take that next step. Some of you came this morning and you haven't maybe had a dream like Abdullah, but you have known in your heart that God is calling you into relationship with himself, and you have resisted that. And this morning, I'm just praying that God's Spirit calls you and you acknowledge that he exists because you know that God has implanted that in your soul. And that you need to trust Jesus and just simply speak it out. God, I need your forgiveness and your healing and your wholeness. I need you right this moment. And give me the faith that I lack. I want to step toward you. That's your step. And some of you have a step in your family life. Maybe it's the way you're disciplining. Maybe it's the model you're getting in front of your family. Maybe there's a long list, right? What would it look like to be a woman, to be a man of faith, to be a person who steps out and acknowledges that, yeah, I can't do anything. It's impossible to please God, to do what I was made to do, to bring him delight without a step of faith. If following our calling, it does have a way of blessing us and others in ways that we can't see right now. That's my story. Continues to be my story. If I listen and I trust him and I follow, God is going to bring blessing that I would have never imagined. I know part of the blessing is being with you right now in my life. Now, there's other things that he has in store with my neighbors. Wherever we end up buying a house, we don't know. We're in the middle of that trying to figure it out. But God has his calling stamped on you and on me. And it's impossible if you don't take this step. I'm talking about not putting it off next week or the week after. Because Terah, he died. He never got to Canaan. Don't wait till you're 205, right? Following his calling. That's going to lead to an inheritance that you have. Now, some of you are thinking, yeah, I'm not sure exactly what that looks like, though, Ron. Like, it does it pay off? Well, I've got one of my sons who I won't identify, but I have two sons, and one of my sons, like, when we would discipline him, we would give him, because he was super strong-willed, we'd give him a choice. We discovered doing this is good. Like, giving him a choice. They both basically are doing the same thing, but you know, you're just trying to say, okay, you can choose option A or option B, but you're still going to do what we've asked you to do. And he'd want to know, yeah, but what if I don't? Like, what's the consequence? Anybody have a kid like that? Yeah, like, what if I don't obey you? You know their wheels are going if they haven't articulated it. And so he would doubt, and then Sue and I are like beyond the spot. By the way, I want to introduce my lovely wife, Sue, who's here finally. This is Sue right over here. And you'll discover soon that she's the far better, way better half. And so get to know Sue. But yeah, so he would want to know the consequences. What if I don't follow you? That's actually not the right question, right, parents? And that's not the right question for you to ask God. Like, the right question is, okay, what if you are true to all of your promises and the word? So let me just read out really quickly some of the great texts, two quick texts. First, from Ephesians chapter 1. This is the inheritance you have. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ, that is, all followers of Jesus, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, things you can't see, don't fully appreciate yet, but you will one day. Even as he chose us, you didn't choose him first, by the way. And you just heard the story. Abdullah didn't choose the Lord first. God chose him first. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him, know the joy of purity. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. And in him, we have obtained an inheritance. All of this is from the Lord, for those who would by faith trust him. and live with him and for him. 1 Peter chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Can I hear an amen? Well, that was some weak sauce. Come on now. That's great promise, right? That is amazingly, overwhelmingly great promise for us. That salvation that God's word speaks of, it's not just your personal salvation. It's linked to the salvation of all those people that you will influence from this day forward. All the people that in Turkey, because you guys are trusting him, will be influenced. All the people all around here that we influence this week for the praise of his glory. And can I say this? You don't need all the details of what it means to say yes ahead of time and where you're going and what it's going to mean. I mean, those are just excuses we have, right? He didn't know. The scripture says, and he went out not knowing where he was going, which is a killer statement for all of those who are engineers or project managers, right? Man, you want to know all the details. I don't know if you have a spouse like this. My spouse is super organized. You're going to learn this about Sue. She's got a list. She loves to check off the boxes. That's what she loves. And so I do all that I can to check off those boxes, right? But the thing about this is faith can fly in the face of that, because it means I don't have all the details. It requires me to say yes first before all my questions are answered. That's what faith looks like. And here's an interesting nugget about our faith that comes this morning, free of charge. Faith is contagious, and it will affect everyone around you. Abram takes this step, and he moves out, but he didn't move alone, did he? I mean, Sarah didn't say, okay, well, go for it, you leave, I'm staying here. And neither did Lot, or his extended family, or all those people that worked for them, or other stuff. Everybody went. Because you're intended, like Abram, to help your family say yes to. I have a dear friend who has taught me a lot about faith. His name is Quang, and he happens to be Vietnamese. He escaped from Vietnam and then was caught. And he's in a detention center, and he is called by faith from Jesus. He meets some people that know Jesus there, and they bring him to faith. And fast forward in his life, goes back, and finally he meets his wife, they marry, gets to Los Angeles eventually, and starts a super successful business. And he's doing his thing. He's going to a great evangelical church there in L.A. I know they exist, right, in Los Angeles, but they do. And so he's there, and he just sensed God's calling him back home, back to Vietnam, and back to a communist country, back to a place where there's, you know, not a great thriving church like he was experiencing. And God kept on him, and he kept, like, making excuses and delaying that he knew he was going to have to come home and tell his wife, like the Abraham-Sarah moment. And so finally, like, kind of with a tail between his legs, you know, real sheepishly as he tells the story, he goes home, and he says, honey, I just, you know, guess who I was talking to this morning? And he says, I think we need to move back to Vietnam. And she says, I was wondering how long it was going to take you to understand what God was calling us to, right? Because she was a woman of faith, and oftentimes that's how it works. I think my wife has a much richer faith than me. Like, that's how it works together, and you discern God's will together. And so they went back, and fast forward the story again. Quang invites me to go and train some pastors there, and I see his ministry. It's very cool. And then he thinks, man, in our country, over 65% of the people are under 17, and the church has been under persecution. They have no children's ministry. They don't know, you know, how do we reach all the under 17? And he comes up with this brilliant plan by the inspiration of God's Spirit. And they start doing children's ministry. And I was able to see the first Awana Club there. They had like 300 kids show up in this village. And communist officials are around it. And I'm watching this because I'm hiding with my friend kind of in the bushes so I wouldn't stick out. And we're watching this happen. And they're going to the gospel. And like 150 just stand up and receive Jesus right there. We're like, wow, this is the start of a movement. And today there's tens of thousands in these Awana clubs all the way. They're planting churches. It's like this crazy spiritual fruit that's happening in this country that you don't hear about. God on the move, because one guy finally got it through his thick skull to stop making excuses and to say yes. And his wife saying, finally! That's your story, men and women. Wherever you're at. To say yes. You don't need all the details. Your family can be taken along. All those things are good. But notice why he is able to say yes. And this is the last point I want to press home. It's a huge example. Because we see it at the very end in verse 10. It's a lot easier to say yes if your focus is on the right things. Verse 10, for he, that's Abram, was looking forward to the city that has foundations whose designer and builder is God. Now, here's the full story. Abram's eschatology wasn't very developed. Like, he didn't know what heaven was like. He didn't know how that was going to work out. God hadn't revealed it to mankind. He just said, hey, I'm the designer and builder, and I'm pretty good at what I do. And Abram's like, okay, and I'm going to focus on that one day God has an eternal plan for me. So I was talking to Josh's lovely wife, Megan, and I said, you know, I don't want this shirt, like people to think I'm a duck fan. I need something better that kind of communicates exactly what Abram's doing. So I've got a different shirt. I'm not going to take the old shirt off because that'd be very embarrassing. It's just got old guy stuff. You're the man. So I got this cool shirt because of Megan, and thanks, Josh. I appreciate that. I'm so sorry. Heaven is above Oregon. Okay. So, Oregon's fantastic. I've loved my time here, and a big shout out to the Lampe family who put up with me for the last couple of weeks. But this is the story, right? He was able to take these steps of faith, and as you read through his story, it's crazy what God asks him to do. One step, and then a bigger step, and then a bigger step. So by the time he's Don's age, right? He's asking big things of Don, right? And that's how it should be. Men and women, if you've still got an infantile faith or a junior high faith and you're a senior adult, that's not right. This whole body needs your example. We've got to do this together as a church family, to trust him by faith. And by this daily faith, we focus on him. Because otherwise, we'll never be satisfied. Not this side of faith. We'll never find our satisfaction and we'll never bring delight to God. So this morning, I want to call you to grow in your faith. And I just want you to just right now be quiet before the Lord and ask him, God, where is it? Maybe you already know it. You've just been fighting it in your heart. Where is it you need me to step as a person of faith? Would you just close your eyes and right now just have a moment of holiness before the Lord and quietness before him. If you came and you're just investigating, again, your yes is simply saying, God, I know you exist. I'm going to put my faith, my trust in you, not in myself or the stuff I do, but in what you've done for me. And I just want you to know, I want to be yours. I want your forgiveness and wholeness. Just speak that out. And wherever you are in the spectrum, just right now, pray. If you're a follower of Jesus, just pray, God, this day is about. Me bring glory and satisfaction and delight to you. Where do you need me? What next step of faith are you calling me to? I really want to say yes to you. God, I pray your Spirit does the work that you intend for us. And as a people of God, you would be so delighted in us as together we follow you by faith. Give us the courage to do that, the boldness to do that, and give us the vision as we focus in on the things that really truly matter, eternity, our inheritance, and all you have in store for us. And we pray these things as your kids for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's teaching from Northwest Hills Community Church. We hope you find ways to apply the gospel to your life. And be sure to check out our website, nwhills.com, where you'll find ways to engage with us. And if you're able, we'd love to see you at church next Sunday. Thanks again for listening.